on is do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. In 1999, I applied for a job which I really wanted. And I was invited to interview. I was interviewed by Bishop Michael Nazirali, the Bishop of Rochester at the time, and various other folk. And I laid out my stall to show how excellent I would be in this job, how my experience and gifts perfectly suited me to it. And when he'd finished listening, Bishop Michael said, "Tell me, John, where in the scale of Christian virtues do you put humility?" He was a very clever guy, he still is. So I can't remember what I said. I think I dredged my memory for the things I'd put in some essay in the second year of my ordination training, you know, sitting in there somewhere. But I didn't know then, but I do know now, how apposite that question was from Michael. He was born in Pakistan, of Pakistani parents, who were Christian. I think his father was a Roman Catholic and his mother was a Methodist. Anyway, Michael was born and baptized and brought up a Christian in Pakistan, which is quite a difficult thing to be. He was educated and ordained, I think, first in Pakistan, but he was extremely clever, very, very clever. His hobby, which he did for relaxation, was writing poetry in classical Persian, which was his fourth language, I think. Anyway, he was a very bright young man, and he came over to Cambridge and read theology there, got a big first, and was a chaplain, I think, at Fitzwilliam College. So he got it made, really. You could put your feet up in Cambridge and live amiably for the rest of your life. However, he didn't do that. He went back to Pakistan. He was invited to be Bishop of Multan. Multan is, I think, the poorest bishopric in Pakistan, which is saying quite a lot, really. It's a terrible, arid place. I've never been, but I've read about it. So he went back to Multan as bishop. It's not a big job, and there's not a lot of Anglicans in Multan. Anyway, there he was. But he didn't see his role as being simply liturgical. He saw it as being Christian. He saw it as being for the poor, for the threatened. And it came to his attention that there was a group of men working in a brickworks around the corner from a cathedral. And they were pretty well enslaved by the owners of the brickworks. They had to shop at the brickworks shop. They were paid in tokens to spend there. The tokens weren't worth very much. There was no health and safety or anything like that. And the brickworks, you can imagine, it's a short life and a not very happy one. So Michael tried to improve their lot. He went to the authorities. He spoke about various breaches of law relating to these poor fellows. This did not make him popular with their bosses, who were very wealthy local Muslims. And they got up a mob to go and attack Michael because of his anti-Muslim, i.e. against them, actions. And he had to flee with his wife, an English woman, and two children, immediately, taking nothing. Otherwise they would have been killed. So he knows about humility. This guy who asked me the pointed question, because he was putting others first at his own risk. Incidentally, he worked for the CMS, Church Missionary Society, when he came to England, but he was made Bishop of Rochester in the early 1990s. And he stayed until he was 60. And it impressed me no end that he resigned at age 60, because he wanted to go and support the education of clergy in areas of danger. So he goes over the world helping in Somalia and in Pakistan, in areas where to be a Christian, Iraq, he goes to Iraq, is extremely dangerous. And if you think what he gave up, and I don't know about Bishop of Multan, but I don't think there's a big pension being Bishop of Multan. There's certainly a worthwhile pension being Bishop of Rochester. The Bishop of Rochester lives in a very large house, even bigger than your clergy house. And he has a chauffeur and a cook and stuff like that. And he could have stayed for another 10 years and accumulated some really worthwhile pension, living in perfect safety. And he didn't. He gave it all up and went off to support persecuted Christians in areas he knew only too well. So he'd earned the right to ask me about humility. A few years after that, I went with a contingent from Rochester Diocese to the Diocese of Mpwapwa in Tanzania. Now, Mpwapwa actually has got quite a lot of Christians. Something like 40% of the people of Mpwapwa town, at least, are Christian. And it's interesting how they got to be Christian in the first place, or their ancestors did, because Mpwapwa was on a kind of slave route going through Tanzania or Tanganyika or whatever, it was German East Africa or something at the time, up into the hinterland to a place called Dodoma. Anyway, that was the slave route. The route, incidentally, that Livingstone was on when he met up with, what's his name? Thank you. Livingstone was supposedly a missionary. He made one convert in all the time he was wandering around Central Africa. But in Mpwapwa, there was a staging post for this slave route, and that was occupied by a Scotsman. Can't remember his name, which is woeful. But there he was, people passing through all the time, and he started to talk to the locals, after he'd learned the language, about Jesus, about humility, about self-sacrifice, about love, about forgiveness. And people began to listen, and they told each other. So this perfectly humble Scotsman, who certainly wasn't ordained and didn't describe himself as a missionary, simply by sitting there and talking to people, had an enormous influence on the future life of that area, not just those living there then, but those living there now, 40% practicing Christians. But I went there not because I knew that, but that was told me there, but because the diocese was twinning with Mpwapwa Diocese and based upon an existing link between a church in Seven Oaks, St. Nicholas Church, Seven Oaks, which is a very flourishing church. And it's got bags of cash because the people of Seven Oaks have got bags of cash. So they did a lot of missionary support. And they had this vision of a hospital in Mpwapwa, a Christian hospital in Mpwapwa, St. Luke's Hospital. And now I come to the humility bit, because Rachel Tarling, a GP in Seven Oaks, and her husband, Godfrey, who was a surveyor in Seven Oaks, went for 10 years, not 10 minutes like me, 10 years to Mpwapwa to set up a hospital. Now, I don't know about all GPs, but I'm sure most of them do better materially than Rachel did. And my wife visited her later. And for dessert, the four of them shared a banana. Not a lot. Not only that, of course, when you're working in Mpwapwa, you're not doing your training in England. So she knew that when she went back to England, she couldn't walk into a job as a GP again. She had to go through a year or so of retraining. And her husband, Godfrey, was there to build the hospital physically. And he discovered that first he had to teach the local people how to make concrete, you know, etc. So they lived in some discomfort, in a bit of a bungalow, with their three children. Though when we went, actually only Tim was still there, the others had gone back to school in England. But there they were, devoting their lives in total obscurity to building up a hospital for the people of Mpwapwa. And my wife went out with them on a clinic. And she was amazed. They just got in an old Land Rover and set off into the bush. There's no road even, until they came to a tree where the clinic was to be. And women and their children came across the bush to this clinic, rather different from the clinics we go to say the least. And they weighed the babies by throwing a rope over a branch, and putting the weight, the scales on the bottom. So the baby sat in the scales on the bottom. That was their technology. So that is humility. That is giving up yourself for other people. That's precisely what St. Paul is talking about and what he emphasized about Jesus. And they were doing it not to be saved, though that's always a good thing, but to serve. And you do it as well, to some extent, of course. Yesterday was the tramp's breakfast. People here among you gave up time for others. It's not as difficult as setting up a hospital, and it's not as costly either, but it's certainly the right kind of thing. That is, Jesusing, is doing things that Jesus would do. And another Anglican church I've been a chaplain at temporarily is in Genova, in Italy. And you go to church there, the Holy Ghost Church in the middle of Genova, and 90% of the congregation are from West Africa. And they're there because they are refugees, whether economic or political, I don't know, didn't ask. But the key activity of the non-African members of that church is helping the African members. In Italy, they're not allowed to work. They're given a small allowance. They fritter their time away if they're not careful. But three or four devoted women, three of them have a job already anyway. The fourth is a little old for a job. Those four women spend unconscionable amounts of time and energy supporting, encouraging, bringing along those, mostly men but not all, who are adrift in Genoa. So you can see why humility is important. You can see why Michael asked that question of me. I'm not sure I answered it well, but I answered it well enough because I got the job, I'm glad to say. But it is through that attitude that God's work gets done in Jesus. Amen.